Shalom, shalom, everybody. Welcome back to another Pulse of Israel episode here in our ancestral and eternal homeland, the land of Israel, in our beautiful, ancestral, biblical, and indivisible capital, Jerusalem, since King David's time. So, the anti-government protests have returned, this time in the name of freeing the hostages that are captives of Hamas in Gaza. I just want to cry so much. But instead of crying, I want to help you all understand the reality of what is going on in Israel today, beyond the war, in terms of Israeli society, in terms of this protest movement, because we just went through a couple of weeks of the whole focus being on the ultra-Orthodox IDF draft issue. And I want to explain that as well. Let's help everyone understand what is really going on. Because like I always tell you, we are being lied to by the media every day, by the politicians, by the media, spins, narratives. It's all everything but telling us the true agenda behind all of this. And let's start with this. If the people who were demonstrating last night in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem and who even plans about wanting to burn down the prime minister's house, yes, that was just a week or two ago, and flying over his house and endangering his house and having plans to burn it down. It's insane. If all those people really, really believed that they're protesting in order to save the captives in Gaza, well, you know what they should be calling for? They should be calling for the end of Israel giving humanitarian aid to Gaza that really goes to Hamas and lets them kill us another day and hold on our captives another day and feel no pressure whatsoever about having to release our captives. They should be calling for turning off the water to Gaza, turning off electricity to Gaza, turning off the media to Gaza. Like, things that will actually pressure Hamas to feel like they have to do something to save themselves, so then they'll feel pressured to release our captives. But no, they're not calling for any of those things to pressure Hamas to free our captives. They're pressuring to take down Bibi Netanyahu and his government and call for new elections. And I've said this before. Do you know what calling for new elections does? It means the war is stopped. It means any activity or negotiations to free our captives in Gaza is stopped for at least half a year. So anyone calling for new elections, claiming that that's going to help free the captives, as if Netanyahu and our government are the problem, not only are they not doing anything to care about the captives, they are burying the graves of the captives even deeper in the tunnel dungeons of Gaza. And yet, you look at the headline news, and the narratives that the media is spinning for all of us is that, oh, hostage families are part of this, and the public of Israel, the largest protest since the war began against the government in the name of the captives, it's all about blaming Netanyahu and the government as if they're the problem and they must be taken down in order to free the captives. And the truth is 180 degrees opposite. And it is so sad because the ones who are being made to suffer even more because of this blatant political movement to topple a government in the middle of a war now are the captives and the captive families. And don't you dare believe the narrative and the media lies and headlines that it's the hostage families. No, it is only some of the hostage families, probably not even a majority. I think that the organizers of the protest movement actually put out a list of the 16 families that were part of the Saturday night protest in Tel Aviv. There are 134 captives or their bodies still in Gaza. And of those 16, some of them are like family members of the same family. So it's only like 9 or 10 actually families. That's not even a majority of the hostage families involved in this blatant political movement. And there are so many captive families who are so upset that in their name and in the name of their loved ones who are captives and families of soldiers who've been killed fighting to try to free the captives and end the evil terror regime that we're up against so that an October 7th massacre never happens again, that no Israeli has ever threatened or has a fear of it ever happening again. So many families are so upset that in the name of the captive families, that they're calling for the toppling of a government in the middle of a war, basically hijacking their personal pain and issue to be for a political movement. And that one story about this renewed protest movement, again, anti-government protest movement, is exactly the story that the media hasn't been telling you, us, for 2 years. Because all the different protests over the past 2 years, which for a whole year was basically about the judicial reform movement. And I did so many videos explaining to you that, one, the judicial reform is so necessary because the most corrupt institution in Israel today is not the government. I'm not saying there is no corruption in government or corrupt politicians, but the most corrupt institution, and it's not just in Israel, in plenty of countries around the world, is the justice system. The judges, Supreme Court, Attorney General's office, they have politicized the justice system. And I think you in America, plenty of you are already awake to how politicized the American justice system has become. Like, you go thinking that it's for justice, and then rulings are made and cases are made based on pure politicization of the law and the justice system being used as a political hammer to take down competitors, political competition. Well, here in Israel, the most corrupt institution is the justice system. Just the latest example, and we'll get into it in more detail, is the ultra-Orthodox IDF draft issue. It was the Attorney General and the Justice and the Supreme Court that ruled totally out of their purview. They have no legal authority to rule that the government must come up with a certain type of law. Who is the justice system? Who's the Supreme Court to tell the government that they must come up with a certain law that has the following parameters? No! A Supreme Court is supposed to judge whether something is just or not, not the one telling the government the conditions of a law it must pass. But yet, that's exactly what the Supreme Court and the Attorney General did in Israel last week. And it is blatant political interference, because that is the justice system's way of trying to bring down the government. You have a justice system involved in trying to topple a government in the middle of a war. You can't get more political corrupt than that. And that's the justice system. The Supreme Court. Supreme Court justices involving themselves in issues that are total overreach, that have nothing to do with their responsibilities within the justice system or as judges in the Supreme Court. So the whole protest movement against the justice reform that lasted for a year, it was totally about getting rid of Netanyahu and toppling his government. Had nothing to do with the actual reform. The reform was necessary, and it wasn't even making that many changes. And again, I made so many videos about that, not even going there. But you have to understand, the whole protest movement to stop the government because the judicial reform had nothing to do with judicial reform. It had to do with toppling the Netanyahu government. And its desire, yes, to make changes to the justice system because of the total corruption and inequality that exists within Israel's balance of powers. But again, they were telling you that they were fighting for democracy. No, they were fighting against democracy. If they wanted to make changes, you have to wait till the next elections and then vote the bums out if that's what you want to do, so that you get your policies by your people being in government. So the people who cry out that they're screaming and protesting for democracy, they're the most anti-democratic of them all. But yet again, you'll watch the media, listen to the media. They portray them as being the fighters and defenders of democracy and their whole protest movement against the government, because it's the government overstepping democracy and destroying democracy. And it's, again, 180 degrees the opposite. And here again, we see the same thing. The hostage issue, our captives in Gaza, in the middle of a war, being hijacked to try to topple a government that will do not only nothing to help free the captives, it is empowering Hamas, empowering Iran, empowering Hezbollah to think, oh my God, look, Israel's at war with itself again. Israelis are out protesting in the streets, trying to turn over police cars. And again, you see the police not necessarily enforcing the law and ending those illegal protests in the middle of roads, in the middle of highways, and messing up public order, etc., etc. Literally trying to turn over a police car. No one's arrested there. And you see those green shirts of Achim Lenashek, right? The Brothers in Arms organization. I kept on telling you, even when they were trying to do good during this war, it is a destructive, a subversive organization. They were boasted for saying that they had over 10,000 IDF soldiers who were going to refuse to serve, and they caused the weakness of the army that allowed our enemies to think that they can launch a war on October 7th against us, launch an attack thinking that Israeli society is weak and divided and they'd be able to destroy us. And so since the war, they've now been saying that they've been helping society, they're helping civil society, and they're encouraging everyone to fight, and how much they're helping the war effort, and they're the ones calling the ultra-Orthodox that they're wrong because they're not serving in the army. They are the biggest hypocrites in the world. They boasted about having 10,000 soldiers who were not going to serve in the Israeli army, calling for insubordination, being proud about calling for insubordination. Brothers in arms, they're not brothers in arms, they're brothers in destruction of Israel. Whenever you see the organization Brothers in Arms or headlines about them or them being interviewed or them speaking, understand they're brothers in destruction or destruction of brothers. They're a destructive, submersive organization. That doesn't mean that everyone who's volunteering for it is bad, but the leaders of that organization, it's a total political, anti-Israel, destructive organization. They might say they love Israel, they might have an Israeli flag, but by them destroying Israeli society, they're destroying Israel. So they're not brothers in arms. They're the destructions of brothers in arms in Israel. And yet you see those green t-shirts out there once again protesting against the government, now in the name of the captives. So now let's go to the ultra-Orthodox issue. Because again, we've been told that, oh my God, this is dividing Israeli society. Now here's the thing. The ultra-Orthodox IDF issue, it's a real issue. And it's a real issue that needs to be solved. But it needs to be solved properly and correctly. And I've been saying for decades that it is the political involvement and the justice system's involvement that is making the situation worse, not better. Because with every year, more and more ultra-Orthodox want to integrate into Israeli society. And there are more and more ultra-Orthodox joining the army, joining the workforce, etc. It's a cultural issue. Without getting into the cultural issues, but it is a real cultural issue that needs to be solved. But cultural issues take time to solve. They can't be solved by a law. They can't be solved by a Supreme Court punishing a whole sector of society by withholding funds that, whether you agree with it or not, whether it's being given, here we're talking about funds that the government gives ultra-Orthodox educational institutions. Again, whether you agree or disagree, that's been part of the system, and it's a political hot potato issue that even the political left, they always give the funding to the ultra-Orthodox because they always want the votes of the ultra-Orthodox in their government. So the left, the political left, are the biggest hypocrites of the world because they're the ones saying, oh, it's about justice, about justice, it's about justice. But here you have the political left never dealing with the issue, always giving the money to the as bribery to the ultra-Orthodox in order to join their government. And only when it's a Netanyahu right-wing government do they use it as a justice issue that must be solved. And if not, then the government must be taken down. Why? Because they want power. But Benny Gantz, just in one of the recent elections, he basically told the ultra-Orthodox parties, if you join me in a government, I will give you a blank check, like anything you want. Meaning, he wasn't going to deal with the issue if they would join his government to bring down Netanyahu. So it's a political issue. It's a very real social issue that we must solve, but it's a cultural issue when people have to read beyond the headlines because it was used, it was always used, and it continues to be used by the political left, the media, and the justice system, which again, I just gave you the proof how they used it right now, just last week, as a way to topple the Netanyahu government. It's used as a political bludgeon. It's not about justice. If people really cared about justice, there are plenty of ways to solve this. Plenty of ways. And it's also something over time and to go slowly. Not by punishing a community by pulling all funding out because of Supreme Court ruling. And I'll tell you what, that Supreme Court ruling from last week, first of all, it was given in half an hour. Like, you know how the wheels of justice go slowly? And sometimes people wait for years until there are decisions made. Well, the Attorney General made her suggestion about stopping all funding to ultra-Orthodox educational institutions in terms of the draft bill issue last week. And a half hour later, that's 30 minutes, not a day, not a week, not a month, not half a year, not a year. A half hour later, the Supreme Court ruled, yes, the Attorney General is correct. We must the government has to stop all funding to ultra-Orthodox educational institutions. And again, whether or not what's right or not, that's not the issue. It's the fact that the justice system, which goes slowly when it comes to toppling Netanyahu right-wing governments, and even in the middle of a war, they will take 30 minutes to come up with their decision because it's about trying to topple the government that they're against. But anyone who really cared about ultra-Orthodox joining the IDF, they would think and understand that that boomeranged, that Supreme Court ruling boomeranged, because after the war, specifically after the war, hundreds of ultra-Orthodox were joining the army. All of a sudden, there was a feeling of the ultra-Orthodox community, they want to join the army. And now, because of the Supreme Court ruling, which in a sense punishes them, I mean, again, and ultra-Orthodox understand it's being used as a political potato. They know it. And now they see the political left and the justice system punishing them. Well, ultra-Orthodox now saying, I was about to join the army. Now I'm not. Because now they're on a crusade against my community. So you have tons, and I've seen tons of messages of ultra-Orthodox who said, I'm serving in the army. Now I'm not wearing my uniform anymore when I come home because now they're embarrassed. Or I was about to serve in the army. Now I'm not going to serve in the army. Because they feel that there's a crusade against them. And there is a crusade against them. But again, the problem is the crusade against them, it's not even caring about the issue. It's that it's being hijacked as a political issue by the political left, the media, and the justice system, including the Supreme Court justices, to topple a government. It's not about justice. It's not about equality. It's not even about a law. I mean, anyone who actually does the research on draft bills for ultra-Orthodox, there was a law years ago and the Supreme Court knocked it down. And then every time the government tried to write another law, the Supreme Court knocked it down. Meaning the Supreme Court is basically telling the government, and this has been over like 20 years, more than 20 years, close to 30 years, that we're only going to let you pass a law that we want you to pass, which is impossible. The conditions that the Supreme Court, because it's not about the law. There is no law. There is no law. They use their understanding of equality. Well, there is no equality. And anyone who tells you that this is about equality, guess what? Arabs don't have to serve in the army either. There's no law dealing with the Arabs. So anyone who's screaming, but it's not fair, the ultra-Orthodox, well, why are you quiet about the Arabs? Shouldn't there be some type of national service for the Arabs? Arabs also don't have to do anything. They go straight to college at 18 years old, while Jews have to serve in the army to do national service. So anyone screaming equality, 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 dealing with the ultra-Orthodox, and the Supreme Court, right? The Supreme Court supposedly cares about equality, right? Why are they not forcing the government to make a law to deal with the Arabs? That's never mentioned. It's never mentioned, which shows you that the law is hijacked as a political tool by the justice system, the political left, and the media to smash against the right, and it's never about justice or law. Again, I'm giving you the biggest proof. There's no law dealing with the Arabs, the fact that they don't go to the army, and there's no equality there. So it just is so sad. It's so sad. One, that again, a tiny, tiny minority elite. Again, they're a tiny minority in Israel. They're powerful, they're rich, they have much power in the media and all the major establishment media channels, universities, justice system, bureaucracies. And here, they are in the middle of a war when we're that everyone understands existential war. They are once again causing thousands to go to the streets. And again, it's a minority of Israelis, because the majority of Israelis have woken up. Even Israelis who took part in the judicial reform protests before the war, they woke up and they realized that they were being useful idiots going out to the streets and realizing the judicial reform wasn't worth it. They were being lied to. It was all anti-government. So only like a small core, minority, believe in this protest movement and are out in the streets creating this havoc. But, so it's not destroying Israeli society, but the headlines in the media create that division. And Al Jazeera and Hezbollah and all the Arab media stations are broadcasting this internal division and protests all over the world and all over the Arab world, showing, look, Israelis are fighting Israelis. We're going to win. Thinking that at any moment, they'll be able to do another October 7th and get rid of all of us. And all this, while Netanyahu and his government have to fight off immoral pressure from the Biden administration, France, England, the United Nations, Canada, et cetera, not allowing us to fight in Gaza and end this war as quickly as possible and free our captives as quickly as possible. So you have a Netanyahu who's trying to fight off international pressure and politically, diplomatically finesse it, which is why we're allowing immoral humanitarian aid into Gaza, when you can't win a war by giving humanitarian aid to your enemy. First of all, Hamas takes the aid. Second of all, the whole Gaza population is Hamas. No army in the world, no country in the world has won a war while giving aid to the enemy population. You only give aid to that population after you win the war and defeat their capabilities in harming you and harming your citizens. But yet the world is forcing Israel to do that. So Prime Minister Netanyahu is playing this diplomatic finesse, saying, oh, wait, well, I'm only going to get support to continue fighting this war if we continue to allow humanitarian aid into Gaza, even though Israel knows it goes to Hamas, and even though we tell America and European countries that it goes to Hamas. But no, we do that. So Netanyahu has to fight this diplomatic war in order so that we can fight a just war and defend ourselves, at the same time that he has to deal with this fifth column in Israel of a tiny minority elite who are so powerful and so rich, who are doing an anti-government campaign that will harm the war effort, endanger Israelis, and harm the ability to take out our captives as soon as possible, and along the time that they're rotting in those tunnel dungeons in Gaza. So I just wanted to help give some perspective beyond the headlines, because this is all a political campaign. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Biden administration and the State Department under the Biden administration and the CIA under the Biden administration are involved in this divisive protest movement in Israel, because they also want to topple the Netanyahu government as quickly as possible. Because the Biden administration wants to force upon Israel the existence and recognition of a state called Palestine. And they can't do it while Netanyahu is prime minister. And the Biden administration is going into election season. It's in election season. And they only have a small amount of time available to be able to force this upon Israel. So I am sure, and again, and this is former Prime Minister Ehud Barak, who said it on a Zoom, and I've spoken about this in the past just a month or two ago, that we must, and this is Ehud Barak saying, we must take down the Israeli government now to bring new elections in order to take advantage of the timing of the Biden administration so they can recognize a Palestinian state. Why you have a former Prime Minister of Israel, who also admitted back when he was Prime Minister, back in 2000, that the Palestinian Authority was not interested in peace. He was ready to give away everything, 99.9% he was ready to give away. And even that, Arafat said no. And at the time, Barak said, I tried. I said, I tried. I gave it all away, thinking that either it would happen or it proving that they're not interested. So he knows there's no possibility of peace with the Palestinian Authority, that it's the same thing as Hamas, that they want to destroy Israel, that the whole Oslo peace process is a salami process to destroy Israel. He knows that, and yet he has turned aside because he's not working for the Israeli people anymore. He's working for other interests, and it could be the U.S. foreign policy establishment, which is right now being run by President Biden. And it's not about protecting Israel. It's more about protecting the interests that America wants here. And he might be deluding himself, thinking, oh, we must have these interests. We must have the Biden administration behind us. So therefore, we have to sell our soul and sell everything, in, even though it endangers us, because we must have the Biden administration in our corner. Maybe. But still, we're endangering our lives, and we have to stand up for ourselves. And the biggest lesson about leadership for Israel that Ehud Barak doesn't know, and even Bibi Netanyahu doesn't even know, actually came from our finance minister, Bezalel Smotrich, last week. And I'll do a special program just on that. But basically, as America has been putting sanctions on Jewish farmers in Judea and Samaria, calling out that our Jewish farmers defending themselves against the anarchists and the Arabs in Judea and Samaria, when they get attacked by the Arabs, right? They're defending themselves when they get attacked. Israeli officials know nothing about these Jews. There's nothing wrong in the justice system with them. But yet America, the Biden administration, put sanctions, economic sanctions on them, so they have no access to their bank accounts. And again, Israeli officials are like, we know nothing about these people. But again, because the Biden administration is being fed anti-Israel information by anarchist anti-Israel Israeli organizations like Breaking the Silence and B'Tselem and others like that. So B'Tselem Smotrich basically said, okay, Biden administration, you want to do that? Well, we're now not allowing a law to pass or a condition to pass that gives immunity to Israeli banks for passing on money to the Palestinian Authority, because the Palestinian Authority supports terror. So any bank that gives money to a terror-supporting organization like the Palestinian Authority can be sued. And America's always forced Israel to sign this paper of giving immunity to Israeli banks so that Israeli banks can give over money to the Palestinian Authority, again, a terror organization supporting terror. So Bezalel Smotrich, Israel's finance minister, last week said, I'm not signing that, which makes the Israeli banks liable for lawsuits for passing money to the Palestinian Authority that America is forcing Israel to do. So after Bezalel Smotrich made that move, the Biden administration removed the sanctions on the Israeli Jewish farmers in Judea and Samaria. That's brilliant. It's a brilliant diplomatic move using the law. And that's the type of leadership we need. Leaders in Israel are politicians who know how to stand up for our interests, giving over the message to America without even having to cause a diplomatic brouhaha. Because again, he's just using logic. America's forcing us to give immunity to Israeli banks, to give money to the Palestinian Authority. So I'm just not going to sign that, so they have no immunity. So if America wants us to sign this so Israeli banks have immunity, let them stop punishing us. All right? Clear message. Without creating a diplomatic incident. And America changed its decision. They removed the sanctions. That's the type of leadership we need. Not the appeasing leadership of Ehud Barak, Benny Gantz, Guy Eisenstock, and even Netanyahu, not appeasing, but he's always trying to walk the tightrope and not even doing the strong steps that Bezalel Smotrich just showed can be done. Or if Netanyahu is doing it, he's doing it behind the scenes, so we don't necessarily know about it. So, folks, I always tell you, our future is bright. I just want you to understand the reality of our situation. And it's complex. And the media is not telling us anything because we're dealing with a political movement that is harnessing just issues, real concerns, people's feelings, families of captives, and hijacking it to topple a government in the middle of a war. So we're going to win this. I keep on telling you, we're going to win and beat our external enemies as we also overcome our internal challenges. But realize they are a tiny minority, just powerful. So things look much bigger than they are. But the Jewish people, we are more unified than ever before, not allowing ourselves to be distracted as a whole by this tiny, tiny minority causing all this havoc and division within our society. We're going to overcome it all. Hold on to your belief. Stand strong for truth, morality, justice, which is the Jewish people and the Jewish state of Israel fighting the most just war today. And stick with me at the Pulse of Israel to get the insights and the analysis that virtually no other media is giving you. So if you're not yet signed up for our Pulse of Israel daily videos, go sign up today. Go to pulseofisrael.com and click on the donate button every once in a while to support us, because we're heavily censored across social media. So the only way we're able to really get seen is by those who sign up for our newsletter and using money that we receive as donations to promote having our videos seen by many more people. So please, every once in a while, click on the donate button, show your support so we can help empower, inspire and educate people with the politically incorrect truth, but good times are coming. Signing off from the eternal, ancestral, and biblical homeland of the Jewish people, the land of Israel, in our eternal, beautiful, biblical, indigenous, and indivisible capital, Jerusalem, since King David's time, this is Avi Abelow. Shalom from the Pulse of Israel.
Pulse of Israel, frontline videos from the Holy Land. Support our work by donating today.